As always, it is such a blessing to see everybody here. No better way to spend a day, really no better way to spend any day, but what a blessing to be here on the Lord's Day and to be with one another and to encourage one another. I want to start in Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 10 through 12, and these may be familiar verses to you. But we read, this is during the time of Joshua, right after the time of Joshua. All that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and that's Joshua and his generation, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. Then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods from among the gods of the people who are around them, and they bowed themselves down to them. Thus they provoked the Lord to anger. This is a huge passage of Scripture. Really, I think within this moment that we just read here is one of the pivotal moments in all of the history within Israel. This is something that they really struggled to bounce back from and went through some of the greatest lows as a country. They needed strong young people. They needed a generation to come up who knew the importance of God. They needed a generation to come up who loved God. They needed a generation to come up that received their strength from God. They needed a generation that came up that would be strong young people. But they didn't have that. They had weak young people. And because of that, I mean, you look at the history of Israel and you just think, what could have happened if they would have had a generation that would have been strong? And the answer to that question is we have no idea, because they weren't that. They were weak. And we know what happened to their nation because they were weak. We, as God's nation now, as a nation, need strong young people. We need that. So the question that I have for us this morning is, what is the status of our young people? Well, I got to spend a little time with them just a couple of weeks ago. This morning will be maybe a little bit different. It's going to still be encouragement, part encouragement, but also it's going to sound maybe a little bit like a what did you do in your summer vacation report? And the answer is I spent it with nine teenagers, and so it was unlike any vacation that I've ever had. In fact, but I pray that because it's a little different that you would forgive me for that, and I know that you will, because number one, these are your young people. You want to hear about them, and also because it is not separate from what we just talked about. So for those that are not aware, we had our teen trip very recently. It is a way to give a special something to our young people who have worked hard this summer in serving people, serving their congregation, serving a few of our widows. They have mowed the lawns for the congregation, for the chapel next door, and like I said, for also a couple of our widows. Also helped out in other areas while we were there. In that, they gained such a wonderful benefit from that, and the fact that they get to serve someone else, which is, it's a real treat when you really learn to appreciate it. And my prayer is that they will learn to appreciate it. I mean, the whole purpose for us as people, as God created us to be, is not to be self-centered, but to serve others. And that's a treat that will give us, that will carry over into us having the greatest reward that we could ever imagine, and that's heaven. But going to Six Flags doesn't hurt either. And so for our young people, we got to do that. We went to Dallas in the middle of July. went and took them to Six Flags. And our ride there was really, I guess I didn't know what to expect. And so I had the boys. I lucked out. I had all the boys in my vehicle. And really, it wasn't bad. And I told them that whenever we got there. You know, there's a lot of young people, young boys, who would have been in a van that probably would have made that trip miserable. But they did not. I really enjoyed being with them. I was with Sion and Tanya. They were the other sponsors on the trip. We were able to find an Airbnb that hosted, that was big enough to host all of us and all of our young people. Imagine that probably wasn't an easy thing to find. The place that we did find, that we were able to get and able to afford, was a fairly nice house. We get in and it has a pool table, and I remember whenever we walked in, all the faces of the kiddos were like, "We get to stay here?" And they were so excited. But as we went through, it's kind of interesting, as we went through this place, started checking out the rooms and everything like that, you notice that there's still some flaws to it, as nice as it looks. And that became a good point, and a good point for all of us later on when we were having a devotional, because, I mean, that response, when they walked in, it's just like, "I can't believe this. We get to stay here?" I mean, it's going to be more than that whenever we get into heaven. Can you imagine that? We're going to open our eyes and see perfection. And we're going to say, "I can't believe we can stay here forever." Doesn't that give us something to work towards? Gives our young people something to work towards as they grow in their life. And so that was a good point for us to talk about later. Whenever we got to the Airbnb, it was pretty late at night. My bedtime is around somewhere between 8 and 9 o'clock at night. Apparently that is not the bedtime for young people. So we got there, and I was ready to go to bed, but they were not. I lucked out, and I got to stay with the boys, and so I slept in the boys' room. Rooms. We had three sets of bunk beds, all of them filled, but as we went into our room and it was curfew time, I couldn't go to sleep because our young men were studying their Bibles. I had talked to them on our way up, and I did tell them, "All right, we're going to have devotionals at some point this week, and y'all, you men need to be ready. You need to be ready to step up and take the lead in that." And, you know, I have no idea what to expect. I mean, I should have expected pretty highly of them. But they, it seems like any time that they got a quiet moment, they really put some work into that. And they were reading their Bibles, and they were studying and putting that together. And whenever we did have our devotionals, they all did very well. They would have done well anyways because of the work that they put into it and because of the heart they showed in it. But they had some good thoughts. Really good thoughts. So that was the first day. Then the time comes where, okay, we're getting ready to go to Six Flags. It was the hottest day so far of the year on the heat index. It was Dallas. It felt very stuffy to go along with it. We met another congregation. We went to the McDermott Road Church of Christ. Their young people were also going to Six Flags, and so we went to the church building, and we met them there before we went to Six Flags. We walked in, and there was a whole just crowd of young people there when we were coming in with our young people. And, you know, as you can probably imagine, the young people didn't just, you know, jump at the chance to socialize. But lucky for our young people, they had a very well-meaning preacher with them, and I went around and I started gathering other young people. I was like, "Come on, come talk to our. We're here from Happy Texas. Come on, come and talk to us." And they did very, very well with that. They socialized. They didn't beat me up later for doing that or anything like that. And really, they put their heart into that. And it would have been a missed opportunity if I would have told the McDermott Road congregation, it would be a missed opportunity if y'all hadn't met each other. There's a blessing to seeing other believers. There's a blessing. I mean, there's a blessing for us being here together. There's a blessing in all of that. And it would have been a missed opportunity, but they, little bit of instigation, but they took their opportunity. And that stood out to me. After that, we went to Six Flags, and we pull up, and I mean, you see the rides, and if you've been to Six Flags, you see the rides from, you know, 1,000 miles away. I mean, huge rides, and we start driving up. You roll down the window, you can hear the screams of pain in the morning, and the kids enjoyed the rides, despite the fact that they were insane, and despite the fact that it was hot. They really enjoyed themselves. And really, I was impressed by the amount of concern that they showed. I mean, just for one another. I mean, they showed concern for each other in the heat. They showed concern to make sure that everybody was feeling all right. We even had a couple of younger people that didn't ride. They didn't want to ride the crazy ride that's going to spike you to the ground from 1,000 feet up. They wanted to ride other things, and we had other young people that did that with them, that gave up going on the big rides for a little bit and rode on the smaller rides. They showed a lot of concern. I was impressed by this concern that they showed for Sion. And Sion had no reason for concern at the park. He's a go-getter when it comes to that. But there was two points where Sion faced major disappointment while we were on the trip. Number one, I don't know if you've heard of the Mr. Freeze ride that is at Six Flags, but Sion really wanted to ride that ride, and they got in the line for it like 6 times, and every time they just close it down. And then we'd walk away for a while, and then we see that they were back open, and they come back, and they close it down again. One when they were in line, and we go away for a while. Sion never got to ride that ride all day. It's a huge, bitter disappointment. Not only that, but we were getting ice cream later. Sion was so excited about kind of ice cream that they used to live there, by the way. So the kind of ice cream that they had, and they were so excited about it. He was so excited about it, and then they get there, and they said, "Nope, we don't make that anymore." And I don't know that I've ever seen Sion so dejected about anything in my life. But they showed concern. I mean, I don't know that I saw the kids so dejected about anything. Because they felt for Sion. That hurt them it hurt them that he was feeling so low about that. We spent there's a whole lot of things that we could talk about for the rest of the trip. We got to worship at McDermott Road for a little bit. Ride back was honestly very uneventful, which is a blessing. But a lot of smiles, a lot of enjoyment, a lot of laughs, a lot of opportunities there. And as we get home, we stop and we get out of the cars and we all have a prayer because we were just so thankful to be home, thankful to. To y'all, because obviously we could not have done that without the support of this congregation for it. But also just thankful for all of these instances that I could talk to you about. Again, I realize that this is a little different. This doesn't seem, other than just telling you about our trip, it doesn't seem like it has anything to do with anything. But it absolutely does. Because these are your young people. And again, we saw in Judges chapter 2 that a congregation needs strong young people. And you know what I experienced whenever we were gone? I experienced a lot of potential. And in a lot of ways, I was proud of our young people. I was proud of them I have another story. One other quick story. Most important thing. I don't know why I left it out. But one other in just a second. I was proud of them. For putting their heart and effort into something that they were asked to do. I was proud of them in a lot of ways, they took the fact that they were representing this congregation, that they were representing Christ, as we all do as Christians, representing Christ seriously. I was proud of them for, being okay with doing things that was a little bit out of their comfort zone. I was proud of them for thinking about someone other than themselves. I was proud of them. The last story that I have not shared yet, in our Airbnb, right outside of where we were staying, there was a whole bunch of workers that was working on a construction project outside. And Sion had cooked a whole mess of hamburgers, a whole mess of hot dogs to feed all of us, and he did so many that we had extra. Tanya brought up, hey, you know, there's some workers out there who might use some food. And really, all of our young people with a whole heart didn't need any more, not a whole lot of more instigation than that. We went and we took all the food that we had left over and we brought it to those workers. And we told them why we were there. And in that, we show Christ in a lot of ways. And I was proud of them for that. You know, there's a lot of mature Christians who wouldn't do something like that without pulling their teeth about it. And you say, well, I mean, you know, you told them to do it. I mean, there's a lot of Christians who don't do, a lot of proclaimed Christians who won't even do what God tells them to do. I was proud of them for that. I was proud of our young people. Now, did they do some things that I wasn't so happy about? Sure. They did. But I was proud of them, and you should be proud of them, as I know that you are. I was really proud of them. And it's neat that on a day where you could probably be hearing any sort of news that's really bad, and probably have this morning, the news is your young people did a good job. And there's a lot of potential there. And the same would be said, I know that there's quite a few young ladies who were not able to go. They're going off to college. They were not able to go for this year. And I know, and this gives me encouragement, I know that I could have said the same about them, that I'd be proud of them too. Because I know the type of young people that we have. And now the question that I have for us is, what are we going to do to continue to strengthen them? We have all of this potential that's there for a strong young people, for a strong church. But what is it that we are going to do? Because we see back in Judges chapter 2, I mean, obviously this is a two-sided coin. Number one, the young people, that generation coming up, they needed to put in some work. Part of the reason why they did not, why they arose as a generation that was weak, and part of the reason why they arose as a generation that did not know God is because they did not want to know God. Because if they wanted to know God, if they wanted to be what God called them to be, they absolutely would have done that. They didn't do that, and so they were weak in that regards. But also, you had the other side of the coin, is you had a generation that was surrounding them, an older generation that was surrounding them, that also did not encourage them to know God, that did not teach them God, that did not encourage them to be a strong group of not just young people, but a strong group of people, which they were going to be someday. We see in Titus chapter 2 in verse 1. As we read this, I want us to realize that we do have an impact on these. We have an impact on everybody. We have an impact on everybody that we meet, but we do have an impact on younger people. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, we read, "But as for you," Paul writing to Titus here, "but as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. And older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children and to be sensible and to be pure and to be workers at home and to be kind and to be subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. And likewise urge the young men to be sensible." And we go on, and there's a lot of expectations that are given for our young people to grow up and to mature within Christ. But also see here in Titus chapter 2, and a big part of what Titus is talking about here is the example that we put on. Obviously, we are to be temperate. We are to be dignified. We are to be godly and holy people, because that is God's desire for us. That is pleasing to Him. But not only that, but because eyes are on us, we make an impact on our generations that come after us. We make an impact on our young people that are within the congregation. And you know what? We are encouraged to do all of these things so that we will make the most of that impact. We are not to forget that there are others watching us, but not only are we not to forget it, but we are to take advantage of that and to encourage and to strengthen and to grow and to help grow this next generation of what? I'll answer that question in a moment. I want to read Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, we read, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Obviously, we have some pretty big encouragements for us here as Christians. And we understand that we are to be people that put others before ourselves. We understand that we are to be people that encourage one another. That we are to be people who serve one another, who practice hospitality for one another. But the question that I want to ask is that cut off at our young people? Is it not true that our young people need someone to show them brotherly love? Is it not true that our young people need people to think about them instead of themselves sometimes? Is it not true that our young people need someone to take a moment with them and encourage them and spend a little time with them? Is it not true that our young people need someone to set up a Bible study with them or host them or host, you know, whatever with them? Is it not true that our young people need someone to invite them for a meal? Obviously, we need to be doing this for everybody, but why would we not do that for our young people? And this passage is talking about Christians. The majority of the young people that I'm talking about are Christians, actually. But why would we not extend it to them? Because, you know, part of the reason why we do this is because this is God's will for us. This is what is pleasing to Him, for our Lord that gave His life for us. But not only is it pleasing to Him, but this leads to a growing congregation. This leads to a strong congregation. This leads to a congregation that knows God, that is not going to experience the complete downfall and lows that a people have to go through when they don't know God, when they are a weak people. This is how a congregation becomes strong, is when they put one another above themselves, teaching and serving one another in the joy of the Lord Jesus. And that extends to our young people, too. This period that we see in Judges chapter 2, this period was a transition from the generation that came before to the next generation. It says that there arose a generation of young people arose, and you know what they became? They became the fathers. They became the husbands. They became the elders. They became all of these spots within them as a people, and that's the same for our young people. The young people that we have here this morning, the young people that we don't have here this morning, there's reason for that. There's quite a few of our young people who are actually gone at a youth lectureship this morning. Again, a lot of encouraging things there, a lot of potential there. These young people are going to be the next elders, and they're going to be the next deacons, and they're going to be the next fathers. They're going to be the next husbands. And if they do not know God, know how to be a Christian in the sight of God and in everything that is pleasing to God, they're going to absolutely fail at that. And they're going to be weak fathers, weak mothers, weak in every aspect, weak deacons' wives, weak elders' wives, weak, 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 weak. But if they know God, and if they are surrounded and encouraged by a people that know God and show God, they will be strong, or at least have the best opportunity to. We have the opportunity, and the beautiful thing that I love thinking about is the fact that we are continuing to build this beautiful body, that God's church, Christ's church. We continue to build that, and it's a working and serving process that will last for eternity. And with our young people, we are not just raising replacements. They're not replacing us. There is not a time in our life where we are just done. Like, I've served my time, I'm done with that, right? I've already done, my kids are grown and everything like that. There's not a time of that. We are always serving until perfection comes. And in that, we are not raising our replacements, we are raising our co-workers. We are raising people or helping to help people grow who will encourage us, who will strengthen us, who will pick us up, who will live lives worthy of the Christ who calls us and who died for us. There's a lot of opportunity there to be a strong people, to be a strong congregation. This group of young people that I described for you this morning, this group of young people that they put others before themselves. They took opportunities to lead when they were presented to them. And so on and so forth. You know, in a lot of these places, they did need a little instigation to do some of these things. But they did it. Who's going to instigate them? Who is going to... I mean, when... something that I notice is that when people in general are given a challenge, some are going to rise to the challenge. When they are given the challenge to be a godly person, when they are given the challenge to serve somebody else, some people will rise to that challenge. Our young people face a pretty big challenge in this life. They are called by the Lord Jesus, who died on a cross for them, to be holy, to be blameless in a world of darkness, in a world that celebrates darkness, in a world that seems like it has everything against them. Everything is not against them because they have our God and our Lord Christ Jesus. And you know what? Our young people are going to rise to that challenge. Are we going to help them in that? Because we can. Our young people are very, very capable. I have no doubt that even if we did not invest in them, even if we did not, we need to be praying for our young people. But even if we didn't do all of these things, we have good young people. Maybe they would turn out okay. But isn't it wonderful? Won't it be wonderful when we have a strong body of Christ, strong generations coming up as servants to Christ with the help of those that love them and want to see them succeed most, and not despite them? Some are going to rise to the challenge. So the challenge that I have for us this morning is to help our young people along their way, to encourage them, to invest in them, to pray for them, to spend time with them, to love them, to instruct them, to admonish them if they need it. Whatever it may be, we know that the teaching that they receive, a lot of that teaching comes from home. And that's the thing that we parents need to realize, is their teaching, their raising, their understanding has to come from home if they have that. But their example, a lot of their example, or at least the example that they'll look at and listen to, I mean, you know, I've been a young person. A lot of that will come from those that surround them. And we have the opportunity to help them grow and to have a strong congregation. Will we accept that challenge? The best and really only way that we can truly help these young people to see the more important things in life and to help them turn their eyes to the God who will save them is we have to do so ourselves. And so if you this morning have realized or do realize, think, as we think about our life, as we think about the time that we have passed since we were a teenager until now, and realize all the mistakes that we have made, if we don't turn our eyes to God, if we do not know God, then we will be failures in our life. But for each and every one of us, because Jesus Christ died on a cross, we have the opportunity to turn away from that as well. And if you this morning need to do that, if you need to be baptized in our Lord and turn your life to Him, if you need any prayers of the congregation, please come forward while we stand.